Let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Father, we've worshiped you through song, celebration of the Lord's Supper, earlier in the previous service by the waters of baptism. Now, Father, we praise you by opening up your very word that tells us how to live, that tells us the expectations of a walk as a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, my prayer is that it's not my words that are heard, but it is your Holy Spirit within our lives that moves us and changes us and makes us to become the people of God you have called us to be. Lord, guide and lead us now. May your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, businesses are known by their brands. You know, often within businesses, that brand is revealed in the form of a logo along the way. We're going to put up on the screen, and this is your time to interact, okay? We're going to put up on the screen different logos of companies, and I want you to tell me what company it is. Now, these are not difficult, okay? So there's not a hard one here. So go ahead and put up the first company, or the first logo. What is that? Who is
Nike?
Nike, okay. All right, the next one?
Apple.
Next one?
McDonald's.
That was a real hard one, wasn't it? The next one?
Target.
Next one? Not as much response on that one. Okay, a few. All right, the next one? Okay, all the coffee people had that one, except for Mike. He wanted Dunkin' Donuts up there, but that's a different story. All right, and the last one?
Shell.
All right. Well, trademarks, logos, other branding tools reveal the use of a product, the value of a product, the atmosphere you can expect when you arrive at that place, the intention of that company. What you might not realize is that God has a brand as well. As members of the body of Christ, we are the representation of His brand. But to be the true brand of God, we must reflect Jesus Christ Himself. Well, we're picking up back with this sermon series that I started, which seemed like eons ago, before vacation. But we're picking up this sermon series entitled Sandbox Fellowship. We are charged to grow, to be like Jesus Christ. But often we resist change. We do things that keep us from growing in Christ. Change comes knocking at our door, and we say, wait a minute, I'm comfortable the way I am. But as Christians, we are called to constantly change. Our journey starts from the day we accept to follow Christ until we go home to be with Him and have the final change. We are about change. But often we get in this sandbox called church, and we get set in our ways, and we start throwing sand at each other. We say we're going to pick up our toys and go home in anger. And that's not what the sandbox fellowship of the church is about. Where we find commands in the New Testament of how Christians should treat each other. And we look first at how we are to be unified with each other. Then we looked about admonishing one another. And this morning, we want to see a command that reveals the very brand of God in our lives. It's not a logo, but it reveals who we are in Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to look at the Christian brand. Listen to a short letter by a lady who just broke up with her boyfriend. It says, "Dearest Ricky, I just want to write to tell you how much I miss you. I want to tell you that I still love you, and I can't get you off my mind. I really, 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 really love you." And then the woman signed the letter. But then there was a PS at the bottom. Congratulations on winning the lottery. Some of you got that, some of you didn't get that. Well, that's not exactly the kind of love we are to have as followers of Jesus Christ, the love that we are to share with each other. Let me give you a short background of our scripture this morning. It is the night before Jesus is crucified, as we celebrated a few minutes ago with the Lord's Supper. The scene is the very last supper of Jesus and his disciples before he heads to the cross. Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet, even the feet of Judas. That by itself is a major lesson for us to learn. Even the feet of Judas. Judas leaves the table. The other disciples believe he's either going to give money to the poor or maybe he's going to buy more food for the meal. But in fact, we know he's heading out for an act of great betrayal. In the midst of this betrayal, in the midst of the confusion of the evening, in the midst of even a time where Jesus is telling them about his heart being broken, this act of great betrayal, we find a lesson of love from Jesus. Our scripture this morning is found in John, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 33. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." In the midst of Jesus's departure, he knew the greatest need for the disciples on that evening. Jesus was about to leave. He's about to head to the cross. And the disciples, well, they're not even in their best behavior. I mean, they're talking about who's the greatest among the group in this evening. Jesus says there's a betrayer, and yes, they say, "Is it me? Is it me?" But I can picture them saying, "Is it him?" Jesus said, that's not the way to go. Instead, do what I have taught you from the very beginning. Love one another. And there are two main thoughts about loving one another found in these verses that we need to apply to our own lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And the first thought is, our love is different. Our love is different. Back to verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Jesus called this type of love that he is telling them about a new commandment. I don't know if you have stopped and paused at the fact that he says it's a new commandment. So what's new about it? You've got devout Jewish men here. They grew up learning what we call the Old Testament scriptures, especially those first five books of the Bible. They knew about Leviticus 19:18, where it says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Why is this a new commandment? Well, the answer is found in the second half of the verse. The love that they were to have and we are to have for one another is exactly like the love Jesus has for us. It is the same love that Jesus had when he knelt down at the feet of his betrayer, Judas, and washed his feet too. He still loved him. Our love often doesn't reflect sacrificial type love for our neighbor. Sometimes our love is more of a selfish human love, let's face it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you're kind of love yourself selfishly, then maybe that's the love you're sharing with neighbors, is kind of a selfish type love. But we are to have a divine Christ-like love. Jesus said, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. So what does that mean? Well, first, our love started with the Father. Our love started with the Father. Debbie taught preschoolers for years. Now, one time she was getting ready to lead the group in a song about Jesus. She had the kids, I think there were four-year-olds. They had the four-year-olds all in a circle there together. And one of the kids said out loud, I love Jesus. That just warmed the cockles of your heart, right? But then another kid on the other side of the circle said, I love Cheetos too. Now the sad part is, there are plenty of people in the church who love God more like their favorite snack than for the holy, merciful, gracious God that He really is. God's got plenty of fans, folks. Oh, you got plenty of people in our country who say, yeah, they know who God, they love God. He's got plenty of fans. He's got few disciples. He's got a rather large fan club, even among people who show up on church on Sunday morning to applaud Him. But that's not the definition Jesus gives of a disciple. A disciple traces their roots of love back to the Father because the Father first loved us. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love started with the Father, revealed by Jesus, and then moves into our heart by way of the Holy Spirit coming to live within us. God allowed His Son to be sacrificed for you and me. And the new commandment is much, much greater than loving your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment is loving each other despite ourselves. Because it's what the Father did to us. It's loving each other during our blemishes. It's loving each other even when we can be ugly with each other. It's loving each other even in the midst of your sins. Have you ever wondered why God has allowed difficult people in your life? I think God uses them to teach us how to love as He loves. He loved us even in the midst of our sin. Maybe that contrary person in your life is God saying, love them just as I've loved contrary you and me. This love is agape love, sacrificial love. I will put up with you kind of love. That's not love. That's not the love we're talking about. I will put up with you. It's a love that I am willing to sacrifice my wants. I will sacrifice my desires for you. Do we do that in the church? Are we so comfortable with where we are that we wouldn't think about sacrificing our wants and desires? I was with a group this week and talked a little bit about the early pioneers of this church when it first started. They gave up a lot. They gave up the comfort of their pews to get a ministry going here, to reach others for Christ here. And I have to ask myself, are we 67 years away, something like that? Are we as a church willing to give up our wants and desires to reach others for Christ and for each other? Oh, we love no matter the situation because God loved us. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's the love of Christ followers. That's the love demonstrated by the Father. Another way our love is different is our love reveals our walk. since love began with the Father, lived out in the earthly walk of Jesus Christ, and now present in our lives through the Holy Spirit, it becomes a sign of our relationship with God. It becomes our brand. John also wrote a letter that's heavily laden with the description of the love that Christians should have with each other. We find in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now, John is writing this letter to Christians, to believers. And in this writing, he says, not know God. Those who do not know God. But it's a reference to how we experience God in our lives. It's not necessarily referring to the lost versus the saved. Another way of saying this is, Christian, if you're not revealing God's love to one another, you're also not experiencing God's love to its fullest extent. When we love others, we begin to understand God's love. It does not impact how much God loves you. His love is perfect. His love is complete. His love does not change, but it does affect how much of that perfect and complete love we experience in this lifetime. When you love others, you're doing what God does. So He is involved in what you are doing at that time in greater ways. But when we do not show true love for one another, we are limiting our understanding of the depths of God's love for us. There's a second part to the main verse, and that is our love is a witness. John 13:35, once again, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Our love for each other is a witness to the world that Jesus Christ lives in us. Sadly, many people see a false Jesus because we reveal a false love for each other. Unloving church members, I think, are the greatest detriment to the spread of the gospel message, because they're not revealing God when it's all about self instead of sharing the love of God through each other. The true Jesus is only revealed by true love in His disciples. How is that witness revealed in love? Look at 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and see his brothers in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Well, first we see here love is witnessed in our sacrifice. John wrote, if you see a brother or a sister in need and you have the resources to help out, and you just walk away unwilling to sacrifice the very blessings that God has given you, do you really reflect the love of Jesus? I wondered, as John penned these words, as he wrote that letter, if he wasn't reflecting back at that time, that day when Jesus gave them the parable of the Good Samaritan. I mean, you remember the story. A Jewish man is robbed. He's stripped. He's stripped of everything. He's beaten, and then he's left on the road to die. A priest walks by, and he walks by. Doesn't do a thing. Levite does the same thing. They're just too busy. They got too much going on. But the Samaritan, an enemy of the Jews, hated by the Jews, stops. Now, travelers in that day, especially when they were going long distance, were known for carrying a couple items. They would carry wine because they weren't sure if the quality of the water along the way. They would also carry oil for medicinal purposes. The Samaritan used his personal wine. He used his personal oil to heal the man's wounds. And then he put him on his animal, his personal animal, which most likely meant the Samaritan walked. He took him to an inn stayed with him overnight. Next day, he goes to the innkeeper and said, here's 2 denarii, the equivalent of 2 full days' wages in that time. And he said, take this, take care of this man, and when I come back through town, if there's more costs, let me know, and I'll pay that too. This was more than a story of a man who went out of his way to help another person. This was a story of a man sacrificially loving another person. And that sacrificial love is how we are to live, to be a witness to the world. Does the world see sacrifice and love in your life? Love is witness in our actions is the next thing. He said, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed. Now, this can sound similar to our last point, but this one, that one dealt with the sacrifices in life. This one deals with every single day. When John said, let us not love in word or in talk, he did not mean don't use loving words. He just meant that there are plenty of people who are smooth talkers and no action. Plain English, stop shooting off your mouth about love, he's saying, when your actions fail to reveal love. Put your actions where your mouth is, toward each other, and the world will see the love of Jesus Christ. As you and I walk in this life, how we act toward one another reveals the love of Jesus and reveals that love to the world. Why do many in this world reject Jesus? Because they do not see sacrificial love going on in the church. You know, when I first went to Louisa Baptist as its pastor, they were known for having some pretty uproarious business meetings, a little contentious all along the way. And we saw hearts and lives of people change. Actually, the Lord also took a couple people and moved them to another church. But what happened was, the business meetings became a time of peace as the church worked together. Actually, we had a couple who visited a business meeting. They weren't members yet, but they came to the business meeting just to visit because they said they knew the heart of the church by the heart of a business meeting of a church. And then they joined the next Sunday because they saw the joy of the Lord present even in a business meeting. People come to Christ when they see sacrificial love going on among us. Love is witnessed in our truthfulness, last point. He said, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Our words are also a witness, yes. Yes, we are to witness in our actions, but they are, our words are a witness of love also, and they must be words of truth. If we lie to each other, why in the world is the outside world going to believe in Jesus? They can hear all the lies they want out there. Sometimes truth can be painful, can't it? Truth can hurt sometimes. Sometimes truth just doesn't feel good, but a lie, even what we call a white lie, you know, little bitty ones, are a damage to our witness of Jesus Christ. Where the truth may hurt, a lie is sinful and unloving. Now, let me back up and say this. Truth is not to be used as a weapon to hurt others. That's not what is meant. It's never meant to be used as a weapon. You might know people like that. Truth is like some giant bomb that they explode all over the place. They lay waste on lives of many Christians because they use truth as this weapon instead of how truth is meant to be handled by Christians. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was really a kind of an in-your-face kind of guy, especially early on in ministry. But he grew to understand how to deal with truth and to love one another. He wrote this to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Notice that? Speaking the truth in love and growing up. Work together. Grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Our witness of Jesus Christ depends on telling the truth, yes, but speaking that truth in love. Not as someone who's more interested in proving their point. You know, you see often two types of Christians. You got this side over here who sound more like the old Beatles song, "All you need is love, 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 love." They don't put too much truth in it, but they love, 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 love. And then you got the side over here who are more like pilots in a war who have a payload of bombs that they want to drop on people, and it's called truth, and they're going to blow them to bits with truth. Paul said, and Jesus lived it out, speak truth in love. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he didn't sit there and lay in on her about her sinfulness. He got to know her. He built a relationship with her. He talked about her concerns. He dealt with her in a loving manner. And yes, he finally says, go and sin no more. But he built a relationship. He built a trust. He built a bond. So much so that she goes back and tells about the wonderful things that she has heard and seen. Truth telling is to be done in a loving manner, not as a truth bombardier. The Christian brand. When people see you, they are to see God's love. According to Jesus, the first of the two greatest commands is to love God in all you do. The second command is to love one another. Love one another. Could it be you're not experiencing God's presence in your life? You're not experiencing His love, His peace, and His power because you don't love one another? Maybe you need to seek out someone. Maybe it's someone in this congregation. Maybe it's someone else. And there's a real tension between you. And you need to seek them out and share your love for them in Jesus Christ. Spirit of God will guide you and direct you there. A church who loves each other as Jesus loves us is an attraction to the world. The world is dying for love, and I'm afraid we're holding back that love from them, and too many are dying without that love. They have not found the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, and it's our responsibility to love each other and let the world see and know that our love comes because God first loved us. Well, if you've asked Jesus in your heart and you've made that decision to follow Him, you carry that brand of Jesus Christ in your life. The question is, how do you reveal that brand? Because within that brand, you have the responsibility to love one another just as Jesus loved you. And as I said, maybe your task is to reach out to someone that you have not been loving to, or maybe they haven't been loving to you. And you need to take the first step there to them. Maybe this morning you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart and life at all. And you do not have that sacrificial, total forgiveness of your sins. You're still carrying your sins. You're still trying to do good works. You're trying to say, I'm going to earn my way to heaven. If I do this many good things, God's got to let me in. Not how it works. It only comes by the grace of God. It only comes by accepting or admitting that you have sinned, admitting that you have sinned in your life and admitted unto God, and then believing that Jesus did the saving work on the cross. He did the only work. He did the saving work on the cross, and it was for you and me and our sins so that they could be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ being shed there. And then commit yourself to following Jesus Christ. And maybe today's the day you start that wonderful journey and find complete forgiveness in your life and a new peace and a new love that generates within to be shared with others. Whatever God has laid on your heart, be open to Him. And maybe this morning it's just coming up front and coming and spending time in prayer, praying that God will lead you, because maybe it's a hard person you need to talk to and you definitely need God's strength to do it. Let's go to Him now in prayer, and then afterwards we'll have our song of commitment together. And whatever decision you need to make, take it to the Lord. Come, talk with one of us about accepting Christ. Whatever God has laid on your heart. Let's go to Him now. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your great love. The fact that You loved us so much that You sent Your one and only Son. that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Lord, guide and lead us now in this time of commitment. Open up our hearts to what you have to say to us. Your Spirit is active and moving. And Lord, help us to hear that Spirit move within us. My prayer, Lord, is if someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they will make that journey start today. And Lord, they will seek you and seek direction from you and the forgiveness that you give. Lord, for others who just need to experience your full love, they're being held back from the full love of experiencing each day because they're not showing love to others, and that you will break that barrier too. Lord, may your will be done. May you guide us now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.